In 2013, after a quarter of a century in our Sussex country cottage, we took the decision that rural life no longer suited us. We still wanted to travel more. Longer stays in the holiday home in Crete had us virtually hacking our way up the garden path on our return, and driving miles to shops for even a bottle of milk was losing any appeal it may have had. We remembered living in town in Worthing and the ease with which we could do things locally, and it held a new attraction to us. We were conscious that the 2-acre garden that we'd created from a field in our time there was becoming more of a maintenance than a creative activity. Although we would miss it, we weren't afraid of making a big change in life. Now we decided we wanted to move. The big question was, where would we move to? Hastings, a town on the Sussex coast, had provided us both with Greek classes at the Greek church there. I'd attended the art college for printmaking for a couple of years. We occasionally visited Rye for shopping and days out. Likewise, Brighton had offered shopping and entertainment at Arts Venue. Bexhill-on-Sea was also briefly considered and dismissed. It was Stephanie who said one day, "What about Swansea, which was my hometown?" I believe my reply was along the lines of me leaving there a long time ago, never thinking I would return to live there. As we talked about it, I realised that it fitted many of the criteria we'd been mentally listing. It was big enough to have a variety of things going on. Countryside was nearby. There were a range of housing types. It was known to us. There was a university, etc. My one reservation was the lack of a nearby airport, but we found limited flights to Crete from Bristol Airport and other destinations from Cardiff. Although I no longer work, I'm always interested in a brief discussion with a business owner when in a shop, cafe or restaurant, and still find that I like to find out how things work for them, such as marketing via social media or seasonal changes in their business. Once in Swansea, my thoughts turned again to finding new activities. First one I became involved in was the Environment Centre. This is a charitable organisation supported by the City Council in an interesting building within walking distance along the quayside from our new waterfront home. I called in there to see what volunteering opportunities they had, and the manager told me they were looking for people to take on half-day shifts in their shop / coffee shop. I was asked whether I had any sales experience. In answering, I judged it wise not to mention my role in the sale of the energy company for £1.5 billion that was now paying my pension, or my teenage holidays selling knitwear, but instead mentioned helping recently in my friend's record shop. This seemed to be the right answer, and it was suggested that I came in one morning for training before flying solo. At this session, later in the week, I was introduced to the mysteries of the stockroom, the coffee machine, the phone and the till, all of which I felt I could manage. The following Thursday morning, I was temporary manager of the Environment Centre shop and coffee bar. I'd initially been attracted by the building itself, as it was the original telephone exchange for the docks, an impressive brick building with a modern environmentally friendly extension, which I'd been impressed with. The shop and cafe were in the modern extension, with a mezzanine level upstairs for meetings. In other parts of the original building, the full-time staff were involved in grant-funded projects of an environmental nature. For several months, I had my weekly morning stint in the shop and gradually became more involved in the organisation, taking part in planning meetings and agreeing to take on a role as one of the trustees. At the same time, I'd taken on a greater level of commitment at the Friends of the Copperworks group, agreeing to act as a temporary chairman to put the voluntary group on a more formal footing and develop relations with both the City Council and Swansea University. The involvement ranged from organising meetings and agreeing a formal constitution to the more interesting activities such as guided walks and producing publicity and newsletters. The involvement was satisfying, and I met some interested and enthusiastic fellow volunteers. Commitments with the Copperworks meant I resigned the trusteeship at the Environment Centre and concentrated on the Friends of the Copperworks group. The other voluntary activity was as a river ranger. I'd heard about this initiative to record wildlife activity in the River Towy. I was intrigued, so I made contact and attended the introductory meeting. The project came under some form of grant funding. So to my surprise, the group of some 8 or 9 individuals were issued with some expensive GPS devices and a share in the funding, some £250 each, to be spent on appropriate items such as binoculars and wet weather clothing. The plan was that each ranger would survey their allocated area of water at least several times a month, or as frequently as possible, and report sightings of interest such as migratory birds or incidents of pollution. There were several half-day trips to view different sections of the Towie with explanations about floodplains, erosion, invasive bankside species and polluting discharges and drainage issues. At my request, I was allocated the lower basin of the River Towie within walking distance of our house, and for a couple of months diligently completed monthly reports complete with photographs. I saw and reported the adult seal that fishes below the fish ladder at the river's mouth and identified turnstones, small speckled birds that I had not been aware of before. The involvement opened my eyes to nature in post-industrial landscape close to the city centre that was now our new home. Unfortunately, the initiative came to a premature close at the end of the first year when funds were not renewed for a coordinator and there was no replacement to send reports to. It made me aware of the vulnerability of these kinds of funded projects. Still, on a positive note, I have the binoculars and I know what a turnstone looks like. Another interesting diversion for me in retirement, particularly having moved to a city, was having the time to take an interest in local developments. We now live in a new house built on a maritime development close to the city in a dockland setting comprising a mixture of business and leisure as well as residential. I had heard that a new SA1 business club, the name given to the city development, was starting and had invited people who lived and worked in the area to a monthly meeting in a hotel with a buffet lunch. Now in retirement after corporate life, a free lunch is a rarity and not to be sniffed at. The meetings are always interesting and it's been a good way to hear about developments in the city and to meet some of the people making this happen. It was also a useful forum to promote the Copperworks Friends activities too. It was here that I first heard about the plans for the new city arena and park now built. The Trinity St David's University campus in Docklands also built, and the plans for the Skyline project and Tidal Lagoon still being developed, as well as other schemes and proposals. Several years on, I've yet to be asked what my business is in SA1 and have even taken along some guests who are amused when I'm greeted by the organisers by name. I did find a productive thing to do through the business club when I heard that University of Trinity St David's were running a kind of Dragon's Den initiative called A Race to Market. This was a week where, in their final term, aspiring students could develop and pitch their business ideas to grant funds and potential investors. The university was asking for volunteer mentors to coach and rehearse the pitches during the week before their presentations. I enjoyed working with the students and they appeared to welcome my comments. There were a broad range of business ideas presented, from fitness training programs to assisted limb technologies. My role there must have been seen to add some value, as I was pleased to be asked to participate at the following year's event. A new revelation was made to me when I was asked to approve my description in the publicity for the week and was told they were repeating the text they'd used for me for the previous year. To my surprise, it included the phrase Jeff Dendel, an eminent economist. Unbeknown to me, I'd been eminent for at least 12 months. Who would have thought that? The role as the chairman of the Friends of Havermore for Copperworks was to gradually develop into an almost part-time job, and it eventually occupied more of my time than I was prepared to give. It began with my attendance at training sessions for tour guides to show members of the public around the site of Swansea's copper industry. This was on the banks of the River Towie. It wasn't my first involvement there. In the 1960s, there was a large-scale environmental project to clean up the area, including replanting trees at the site up the slopes of Kilvey Hill. The sulphurous fumes from over a century of heavy industry decimated the area of any vegetation. Our school was involved, and one afternoon a coachload of us fresh-faced schoolboys were found on the bleak slope planting small native tree saplings. It must have succeeded, as the same slopes today are heavily wooded. A few years later, our history class was asked whether any of us would like to participate as volunteers on an archaeological dig. This has been carried out by the university on Kilvey Hill. There was some speculation about the possibility of a Roman hill fort at the site, so it was with some degree of excitement after a few hours of careful scratching away in a trench that we exposed the white edge of what looked like a bone. One of the supervising staff were called over, and as it was near the end of the day, some covers were put over the trench, and we were told we would find out more the following weekend. We returned the following Saturday to be met with stony-faced staff and students who'd spent the previous week painstakingly excavating a recent horse carcass. Our inquiry whether it might have been Roman didn't seem to cheer them up. I think that was my one and only planned involvement in amateur archaeology. The Copperworks Friends Group expanded their activities with, amongst other things, a regular programme of guided tours to the public, as well as pre-arranged groups such as schools and historical societies. Dialogues of the City Council and Swansea University continued, and input to funding applications was often sought by both as evidence of wider community involvement. One such funding grant resulted in the removal and refurbishment of a travelling crane from the roof of one of the engine houses. This was part of the restoration of the building. The Friends Group organised the removal and complete restoration of the crane in a local workshop owned by Tom Henderson, an enthusiastic engineer and member of the Friends. But I was finding the process of dealing with large organisations such as the City Council and the University increasingly frustrating. As a voluntary organisation, I've often felt we have been used when it was convenient to show community involvement in bids or for public relation purposes, and can see my energy for the group waning. Arranged for the donation of a porter cabin from a local construction company, thank you Griffiths, successfully crowdsourced funds to fit it out as well as winning another funding bid for publicity materials. But the frustrations continued with the council and CADU, the heritage organisation, and planning difficulties were raised over siting the cabin, which was to provide a useful on-site presence for the Friends Group. After the country shut down with the pandemic restrictions, I felt ready to relinquish the chairmanship of the group and let others develop it. The group continues and the guided tours are more popular than ever, which I'm pleased about. I'm welcomed at the Friends meetings, but I remain currently happy with the role as an interested observer. It's pleasing that post the pandemic, the group has become active again with an enthusiastic committee running a programme of events. It will be pleasing to see further progress at the site. I've continued my writings, and this latest book will be the 11th title of my narrative and photo journal books published on Amazon Books. Some of these are photos collected travelling, which retirement gives you more freedom for. I hope it demonstrates that work can be fun and there is more to life than work.